Jesus says, "Judge not, lest you be judged. For the judgment you pronounce on others, with that same judgment you will be judged." This is the way we continue our Lenten journey through the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. And we've been going through various parts of it on these Wednesday night services. I read recently about Stephen Covey. You may know him. He's the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, a very popular book and seminar series and everything. He tells a story of riding a subway one Sunday morning, and everyone was sitting quiet in the subway car until a man and his children came into the car. And the man sat down next to Covey, and the children were running wild all over the car. They were throwing things and yelling and disturbing everyone in the car. Meanwhile, the man sitting next to Covey was just sitting there, dazed. And Covey was thinking, man, what a bad father this guy is. Doesn't he know how disturbing his kids are being? Finally, he breaks the silence, and he compels the man to do something about his kids. And the man replies with these words, "Oh, you're right. I guess I should do something about it. We just came from the hospital where their mother died about an hour ago. I don't know what to think. I guess they don't know how to handle it either." And of course, immediately, his judgment of this man went from something that was hypocritical judgment to compassion and concern. Because he did finally see the way things really were, not what he observed and judged to be the case. I remember also many instances when I was younger. Jennifer and I were married fairly young, and we used to go to restaurants. And I remember several times commenting to Jennifer, and Jennifer agreeing with me that, hey, those parents that were sitting next to us, I mean, I can't believe they let those kids do that. I mean, there was food all over the floor. They didn't eat hardly any of the food. They were making so much noise, they were disturbing all those other patrons. And then we had kids. And we realized those parents could have been great parents, but the kids just didn't listen. Or there could have been even more troublesome judgment that we were making of them. We did not know anything that that family was dealing with. We didn't know if there were special needs children they were dealing with. We didn't know if they had horrible circumstances they were trying to get out of by just spending some time away in a restaurant. Here we were judging people, and we didn't know what was really going on in their lives. And this is, as you know, because we talked about it on Sunday even, right? One of the things Christianity and Christians are most famous for, unfortunately, we are famous for hypocritical judgment of others. Now, this is not the way it should be, right? It should not be this way at all. Jesus says in these passages, "Judge not, lest you be judged." As a matter of fact, he even goes further in other passages, especially when he's talking to the Pharisees. He's saying, in the same way that you judge others, God will also not show you mercy when you meet him face to face. You know, Jesus was primarily talking to the Pharisees in this context, and also in many other contexts when he says, do not judge. The Pharisees, as you know, were the religious leaders of the day. So he's talking to people like me, like you elders, right? Not you. That's our elder chiming up for the back. That's Don. Yeah. So these Pharisees had actually been pointing the finger at everyone, including Jesus, right? And judging him according to laws that they had established as being the way that you get to heaven, right? You may remember, right? Not eating on Sundays, not doing any work on Sabbath day, They would go into the field when they were hungry and they grabbed wheat, right? The disciples. And remember, they were chastised by the religious leaders of that day because they were doing work on the Sabbath day. And it turns out that these religious leaders of that day were taking it upon themselves to be the righteous judges of everyone else. And there's no place for any human to do this, right? Our passage tells us today that before you have any judgment, any human has any judgment of another human, what do you do first? You look at you. Okay? You look at you. There's no chance for any of us to actually make a productive criticism of another person if we go at it in a self-righteous way. We must first humbly understand that we come from a place that's at least as sinful as that other person. Okay? So Jesus is not criticizing people who are judging between good and evil. He's rather judging the prideful, self-righteous, judging heart. Okay? So he's talking about the condition of our heart. When we want to talk to other people and help them with something that we see is going on in their lives, and we want to lovingly encourage them, don't go this direction or go this direction, it always must come from a place of very big humility. It's interesting from my perspective because I think that most of us that are in church, like all of you guys, we do judge other people very often, which is a very bad thing, right? We can look around and see, even at our church, okay, that there are sins, there are people that are doing things that are wrong and everything, but we are judgmental, okay, even to people sitting in the other pew. I think we also must realize, though, and we often are shocked when we see more than just gossip or other things that shouldn't be going on at church, okay? Maybe some of you, and every type of sin imaginable, okay, and that has ever occurred in any society also happens in churches. Right? So we don't have any place to judge others, even as a church, okay? We got to think about that. One of the things that humbled me greatly in this regard, I'm a Lutheran. I've been a Lutheran for quite a long time. Yeah. Most of you are too, I think. Or, you know, you're in a Lutheran church. How many of you remember the story of the BTK serial killer? BTK serial killer. This was a man who in Wichita, Kansas area, brutally murdered 10 people. And it took the police more than a decade to find this guy. And he murdered these 10 people over a period of about, I think, 12 years or something like that. Okay, so over a period of 12 years, he killed, brutally murdered 10 people. He was a Lutheran. Not only that, he was an LCMS Lutheran. That's our denomination. I even hesitate to bring this up because it makes me feel really like guilty, like maybe our church is wrong, right? Or there's something bad about how our church teaches people or what we believe, or it's a bad mark against us. But how many of you have hated another person at least once? How about hated a person 10 times? Yeah, probably even more. And what else does Jesus say about hating your brother? Yeah. The condemnation that we, okay, as people should give to a man who murders 10 should be equal to the condemnation, right, that we give the person who hates another person 10 times. You see, in God's eyes, all of those sins are condemnable, and all of those sins are equally forgiven. Okay? Now, of course, there are much more severe consequences of actual murder than there is of hate, right? And that's why the BTK killer was eventually, I think he was subjected to the death penalty. Okay? So consequences on earth change depending upon what the sin is. But our judgment of other people should be one of humility, realizing that even amongst us and even in our own families, we have a lot of sin. And from that position of understanding our sin, we can then understand and treat others properly, as Jesus says, do not judge. Now, interestingly, the way that we are saved is in one sense directly related to this improper way of judging others. You see, it was the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, that actually had in their own minds an idea of who Jesus was, and they came at it from a self-righteous, fearful, okay, and prejudicious way, judging Jesus as someone who threatened them, judging Jesus as someone who deserved death. Why? Because they said he blasphemed. Jesus told them the truth. When they asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" He says, "Yes, I am. And you will see me sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his robe apart and says, Do I need to have him ask him any more questions? Can't you tell right now that he is lying? He is blaspheming. But what was he really doing? He was telling the truth. I think this is the way it is most of the time with us also. When we don't realize the whole situation, we judge out of what we think is correct. It very well may not be. But what is wonderful about this particular judgment is that God uses this unjust judgment of the judge of all, of the perfect man Jesus, to accomplish something awesome. And what is that? It's a unique gift of forgiveness that we get because Jesus was unjustly judged. So you see, there's a great irony in the cross. The perfect judge was condemned when he didn't deserve to be condemned, and God applies the judgment of our sin upon Jesus. And then, like I said on Sunday, he exchanges the perfect righteousness of Jesus for our sin. And there's much more to the story than just Jesus being an innocent victim, right? God sent him on purpose to do this. And he knew beforehand this is exactly what he was going to deal with. As a matter of fact, Jesus, before he went to the cross, was already begging God, "Please don't make me do this. I know it's going to be painful. It's going to be awful. But your will be done." So the next time we are ready to judge others for what we think is going on in our head, let's think about the cross. And I want you to think about it in two different ways, okay? The very first one is that the cross is made out of two planks, two big logs. One like this, another one like this. Like the two logs that are in our eyes, right? Gotta think first about the fact that we are at least as sinful as the next person that we're going to judge, right? And then we have to think also about the two logs, because they are where Jesus took the punishment for all our sin upon himself, and where God made us perfect and also made that other person you are judging perfect. You see, God took the planks that block us from entering heaven and made two planks that enter us into heaven by his grace and mercy, not judgment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.